Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here we are,
Monday night, ready to talk about
honestly,
anything
can't
you
believe,
want to talk about.
I can't believe they made any of us actually do work today.
I mean, it
after White Lotus
holiday. Oh my god. Was there anybody who didn't watch it? Like, I just feel like every single person in my life watches it and watched it live.
I hope they did, because otherwise my social media like ruined it for everybody, but I don't care at this point.
No. If by the finale of the White Lotus you aren't making sure that you watch live, then
yeah,
there's no hope for you. I'm so sorry.
My social media today was pretty much like Tanya with the gun, just strays, bullets everywhere, indiscriminately.
Tanya with the gun.
Yeah. Just shooting
literally
everywhere.
And figuratively. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Everyone, welcome back to the B-List. I'm B. I am here with a special guest today. His name is Gibson Johns. He is a journalist, host of his own podcast, We Should Talk Podcast, which is part of Yahoo, right? Is it for
yes.
Yahoo? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it rolls up into Yahoo, yeah. Yeah,
And is there anything else I'm missing too?
No, that's it.
That's it.
I tweet too much. That's it.
Tweet, yeah. I don't think too much.
Okay, thanks.
We'll talk about it because there's like so much going on social media, and I feel like we'll talk about how like I think social media like changes the way that I watch the shows now.
Yeah.
Any shows, not even just Housewives, like White Lotus, all of that stuff. Like, I mean, for instance, White Lotus today, I already knew last night when she said, "Do you know these gays?" I was like, "Here we go."
I know. No, you could see the memes being made. And that's why, like, I don't know what you think, but I actually
not
think...
even being made though. Like, that's like, it's like,
no,
that
it just,
is just
that just
delivered...
is a meme. But I feel like,
yeah,
but I feel like the writers or Mike White, like is
yes.
like considering that when he's actually writing
yes.
the show itself. So it's like
yeah.
it literally not even informs how you watch it, but it informs how they're even made now.
Yeah.
Which is
kind of frustrating, but mm-hmm. it's like the lowest kind of like low hanging fruit. But I will say that we usually, in our circle of people, I feel like that we know and that kind of like tweet the most or loudest, I feel like put out the most content that's like on a different level. For I'm going to pat myself on the back, but today I said that it was Kathy Hilton at 3 a.m. in the morning in Aspen.
No, that was fucking good. That was
you would think
good.
That that's what it was like, if the way that Lisa Rinna described it.
Listen, and she was
yeah.
in the basement too. Like, she was on the lower
yeah.
level. Like, oh, no, that was good. That was
yeah.
absolutely on the money. But yeah, I agree. It's like sometimes the low hanging fruit is what makes the first round, and then it's the mm-hmm. the next kind of level of it.
Yeah, I mean, people are still doing the fucking jokes about send them to White Lotus. Stop sending people to White Lotus. Like, it's,
what,
we were doing that a month ago,
baby. Yeah,
yeah. Uh-huh. It's like,
baby girl.
If you were to send one housewife to White Lotus, who would you send if you had to?
Oh my god. Honestly, for pure entertainment value, I think I would send Sonia Morgan.
Okay.
Because I think that,
yeah, that
I kind of think she like lives that lifestyle anyway. Like, I don't think she has a
yeah.
permanent residence in New York City right now.
Yeah,
she, like,
yeah.
is popping around different White Lotuses. So
yeah,
she would fit right in. Okay. Who would you send?
Oh, I'd have to think about it. Let me think. I feel like for some reason Adriana Mora Damora would be good.
Oh no, yeah, she'd be
right?
Like, she's the right amount of like unhinged and yeah, and,
yes.
but she's also jet set, and she's also like traveled the world already, clearly
a bit chaotic.
And yeah, and she's like down to like hook up, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know,
definitely a fun time girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's incredibly like smart when you listen to her testimonials. Not that I thought she was ever stupid, but like shockingly,
she's educated.
For like
she's really educated.
Yeah,
she's really
she
educated.
Knows art. Her mm-hmm. vocabulary is extensive, and I'm not talking about in a rudimentary way. It's like she's uses fucking big words, and she knows what she's talking about, and she's quick-witted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I think that she doesn't get enough credit for that. But
but
sometimes it's how she acts on the show, like, doesn't allow for that space sometimes, but you know, yes. I love her.
I was going to say, and we'll get into this later, but just kind of the way she plays the show too, it just kind of makes you think, you're like, that's why it's surprising a bit, because the way she was coming so hard at Larsa last year about her butt and all those weird comments about her body, which is just like really low hanging fruit also, just like really like lame, to now turn around and say that she's going to get a BBL and then wants Larsa to accompany her to the visit. It's giving like, you want airtime.
I know.
You also want like Larsa's acceptance.
Both of those things. And it's like, she's better than that. She doesn't have to do that. So I'm confused why. Yeah, I thought she had a little bit more self-awareness than to like just be, I don't know. It's a weird look for her.
It's giving desperate.
It's giving desperate. And like, honestly, I think that she's good in a friend of role. Like, I don't really need to know. Yeah. Need to know about her personal life right now. Like, I'm good for her to just be there to start shit, but like, don't be, I don't know. Larsa's currently operating on a different level than her. So she needs
operating on all four cylinders. And we will get into that for sure.
Absolutely.
Because wow.
Woo. Listen, I was loving her last year, but something's been unlocked this year. And I think I know what it is, but we can talk about it later.
Why does Mia's Miami look so much different than Larsa's Miami?
Because Mia doesn't have an OnlyFans.
I wonder, Mia's feet pics, she would have to charge double.
Size 13, size 14. It changes every week. It just goes up every week, but...
Yeah, that was a cheap shot, you guys.
No, I mean, but that's part of the reason why... Candace did say it. But, I mean, that's part of the reason why I love Miami, is that it's like, their world is a totally different world than everything.
Yes.
Honestly, any other Housewives right now, it's like... This is what we originally watched Housewives for, like for the aspirational aspect. I don't necessarily watch that. I don't watch Housewives for the aspirational content really anymore. But like this is it's sort of scratching the itch of those olden days of Housewives. I think
it feels like an old school Housewives show. Yes. But in a sense, I can't really describe it, but it's like it gives this feeling of the thrill you used to watch the earlier seasons of any of the franchises, but it's not cookie cutter at all.
No, not at all.
Because the thing that makes Miami stand out is that they are so specifically their locale. Like, you could not take any of those women, and I don't think they would not make sense in any other city. I mean, Dr. Nicole could do well in New York, but she herself is so Miami, but she's a flavor of it. Like, it's just like Miami is its own flavor. I can't describe it. Whereas, you know, Beverly Hills, you could take some of those women and put them in other cities and it would be like, okay, well, yeah.
Yeah. And you could exchange some of the Jersey and New York women. Like, yes. It's pretty fluid there. I totally agree. Yeah. But it's hard to put into words sort of what that Miami kind of like essence is, but it's there.
Yeah.
And it's irresistible. I'm obsessed.
So before we get into all that, so you and I were on a panel together, and it was like a month ago at Soho House, and we were giving our best moments, right? Like, they asked us to kind of each send in a clip of our favorite moments. Guys, I talked about this last week on here. Mine was the Kim Zolciak in the car with the top down and the white Zinfandel. Sounding like Cher,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Sounding like Tom Waits, but said she sounded like Cher. But that's neither here nor there. She sounded more like, is that Adam Lambert? What do you want from me? She God bless her. What?
I'm hot.
But your favorite was pretty iconic too. It was like, I think all of us chose really good ones because we didn't pick moments that were like obvious, and it wasn't like Dinner Party from Hell, it wasn't Amsterdam, it was like these weird
they were really specific. Yeah. And I think I just randomly watched this scene like pretty recently. Okay. And I was like, you know what? Let me just throw that in there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and I agree. Like, I mean, like the Amsterdam dinner gets thrown around on social media like once a week at this point. I'm just like, okay, we get it. Yeah. The one that I picked was like definitely fresh in my mind randomly. I don't know why, but I stand by it.
It was Luann and Jules Weinstein sitting outside of Bluestone Manor smoking cigarettes while Jules is on the phone with her dad, who's like in ICU or something like
literally about to die, like in a hospital. Yeah.
And Luann's like, can you believe she called me a whore? Can you believe?
And Jules is like, Luann, I have better things. I have more important things going on in my life. Can you believe she said that to me? And then, and we, yeah, and we're, the camera work is like through the window from inside. Yeah. And like, I mean, just the fact that they're smoking cigarettes on the show, it's so rare. Like the thrill of that is just like in and of itself enough for me, but it encapsulates
Whenever shit really hits the fan on any show, someone breaks out the cigarettes. When LVP pulled out the cigarettes, I was like, oh wow, she's stressed. Mm-hmm. She's like scared about this edit. It's like,
I'm still waiting on the Dorit on a Dorit cigarette moment. That's I want
she
that.
Smoke she would
yeah she definitely she's there's a housewives, there's an account on Instagram that like tells you all the housewives that smoke.
What is
it's like, it's like literally housewives smoking cigs or something like that. God. And it's like every time they've been popped smoking.
You heard
cigs.
It here first, guys. I'm sure you guys already knew. I did not fucking know this.
I'm surprised that you're not on that seems like prime because
that's
you.
Literally all that's I post like, that's like literally like smoking.
In your wheel. Yeah.
My favorite is Dorinda lighting up her cigarette with the clown makeup so on. So no, good.
At the first BravoCon, I was walking. You just like walk between venues there. Remember that? Were you at the first BravoCon? Yeah, you were there.
Yeah.
You just like walk between venues and it was so cold. And my brother and I like turned the corner and Luann is just standing there alone smoking a cigarette.
And it's just like random gays walking past.
Literally.
Like
can I have a selfie?
The trail of queers.
And she was like hiding the cig like down by her waist. It's so good.
Oh, that's amazing. The trail of queers. Like the trail of tears between the two venues.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, speaking of BravoCon, so you hosted a panel. Like, mm-hmm. Did you do one this year? I know you did one the first year.
I did two the first year and then one this year. So the the first year I did two Housewives ones and then this year I did Family Karma.
Okay. I've never seen Family Karma.
Yeah. It's a solid show. I was already watching it. And honestly, like, I mean, I would have loved to do a Housewives one. Don't get me wrong. But like, I think this year, the pressure on some of those to deliver.
Yeah.
Would have made me very nervous. But I would have done it.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Your first year, you did two Housewives ones. What were they? Yeah. They were
one was Housewife to Housewife, which is when they like pair different random housewives together. It was Giselle, Ashley with pink eye, Emily Simpson on crutches, and Melissa Gorga. Amazing. And then the next day at 10:30,
literally everyone's falling apart.
Literally, and then at 10:30 the next morning on a Sunday morning, the last day of BravoCon. It was the first panel of the day. It was Teresa and Dolores making spaghetti and meatballs on stage while I interview them. And the producer forgot to turn on the hot plate. So it was a moment. Yeah.
That's a bit. I love the idea because like that was I hosted a party the night before, I think, and like Emily Simpson came and on crutches.
Yep.
Bronwyn was drunk. Happened? Ashley had pink eye that entire week, I guess. So it's basically that everyone was just like the toy. What's this? Toys from Toy Story? They were like thrown together with spare parts. It was just like kind
misfits
of like
or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like the wheels are falling off the wagon. But God bless them.
God bless them, our girls.
This year, and BravoCon kind of had like a weird energy. Like it was like everyone's very excited to be there, but also kind of like, do you start to notice there's like kind of attitude with some people, like the. Some people come with like a really great attitude, but then sometimes in these panels, people will get up on the mic and ask really kind of rude questions. They've been waiting their entire year to ask a housewife a really rude or kind of like off color remark or question. And it's just kind of like,
yeah. And like, and I think that a lot of people see that as like the opportunity to go viral and to make the moment, because some of the panels are a little snoozy, because I think that like the reporter who's hosting it is probably told certain things not to ask, whatever. Mm-hmm. I get it. But like, it feels icky watching these people like trying to like catch these women off guard. And like, it kind of makes it like when I would watch those moments happen live in some of these panels, like you have to take a step back in your mind. You're like, yeah, it's like the downfall of some of these people is fun. Watching them fumble is good TV, but like, I'm not there to like do a gotcha moment or like to like call them out like that. Like we're at BravoCon because we love these people, and at least for me mostly, and so like it just feels like just the wrong energy to bring to that kind of situation.
Yeah, like if I had one question to ask a house, why would I ask someone that I don't like? Like how empty are you inside where like you want to take that moment to like talk to someone that you don't like? It's just like very weirdo behavior, and to put it in to put it in Lars's terminology speak, weirdo.
Honestly,
I'm not talking to you, weirdo.
Check in 2 months, and we're all just gonna be like quoting Lars that like literally just like daily. That's just what's
the funny thing about it is I already like weirdo is definitely a part of my
weirdo's
cat. Like
there.
I was just last week using it all the time with my friend Jonathan on here. Love weirdo. It love hits. Weirdo. It's like third grade insults. Just
and it's like, but it really it digs in there. Like it's yeah. like it's unexpected. I always loved Let's Get It Poppin' from last season. Let's Get It Poppin'.
Yeah, yeah, I love her. So you interview a lot of housewives, whether it's on the podcast, mm-hmm. and also just through Yahoo, right? Not just for the podcast.
Yeah, so. I started off doing it like just for written articles, like okay. and then I got a show. They gave me a show like 2 years ago, so it's just okay. mostly for that. But yeah, I've probably interviewed like earlier this year. We did the math. I've interviewed over 75 housewives.
Wow,
which is like scary to think about, honestly.
I think you already answered this before at our panel, but this will be new for these listeners. Do you have a favorite person that you've interviewed?
My favorite ones are always just the ones that like actually like make the effort to like have the small talk before you start recording or to like stay on for a couple of minutes after, mm-hmm. especially because now everything's virtual.
Margaret's and one of those people.
Margaret's 100% one of those people. I mean, we were at that Page Six thing last week and she came over to my, you were sitting with yeah. her, but she came over to my table and we talked for 10 minutes because like she's is one of those people.
She loves to,
she's a talker, but touch. She also like, she actually like can kind of like have those relationships with people in a really genuine way. Like honestly, a lot of the Jersey women do that. Dolores is the same yes. way. A lot of the New York women, I think when they were on air, they were doing that. Like Dorinda's honestly pretty good at that. Sonia in her own way, like mm-hmm. and I think maybe that's also because we run into them at like random events and things like that, just yeah. being in that media world, but like they're the best at it, and like same with like some of the Summer House people, just because again sort of like tangential,
we're all in the same
worlds.
Kind of sphere, yeah,
yeah. But like yeah, honestly they're always my favorite because it's just like it feels like they're kind of just, and it's not that hard to like yeah. quote unquote go the extra mile in that capacity.
Do you have
like,
a
just like
do you have a favorite person from Summer House to interview?
I'm a Lindsay Hubbard apologist.
I was gonna say
yes.
Yeah, she's yeah. my favorite person on the show. She hits.
Yeah, and I mean she's a huge star, and she's and
that's
I'm like,
why they're jealous of her.
Yeah, exactly. They're threatened by her, and she's probably one of the people on Bravo in general who I have the closest relationship with. So it's like I'm not super objective mm-hmm. about her at this point, but like, yeah, you know, we're talking about Bravo here. Like there can be some blurred lines.
Yeah,
yeah.
Worst interview? Do you have a worst interview? Can you say?
Or a housewife?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's someone who's not around anymore.
Huh. Okay, well, I will say, I expected, when I first, I've interviewed Bethany several times, and mm-hmm. the first time I expected it to, like, just be a really, like, tough thing to rope her in and to sort of disarm her. But honestly, mm-hmm. like, I've had great experiences with Bethany. The first time she was definitely cold, but like then the second time she's somebody who remembers the face, even though she doesn't yeah. remember the name. She kind of does that. Who's been a bad one? I mean, just some of them are just like a little cold. And I think like part of it's over Zoom. It's mm-hmm. like just not, fuck, I feel like there's somebody who I can say, but they're not, it's not coming to mind. I mean, I'm just like thinking yeah. like, I'm blanking, honestly, for you. I wish I had a better answer for this.
That's fine. Well, we'll come around. Do
you... Oh, okay. Actually, no, I'll tell you this. This is not an interview, but at BravoCon, I had a media mm-hmm. pass. So it was basically like, I was just kind of like running in and out of the press room, like whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be doing like standing there on the red carpet all weekend, like just doing like quick interviews on my phone. So I was like, what's something I can do? I did a video where I just like every person that I ran into, I just like asked them to say Bravo, Bravo, fucking Bravo.
Yeah,
and
I saw
and
that.
I pulled it all into one video. So everyone I asked said yes, except for one person. And there's one housewife that denied me.
Hmm.
And it was Erica Jane.
Oh, yeah. And I could see that.
And she goes, and I go, hey, like, and I did the same thing. The same spiel to everybody. And she was like, no, I'm not doing that. And walked away.
Oh, wow.
And it's like. And
Probably because she's like there because she's trying to get paid. And then she's just like, don't ask me to do anything extra.
But the whole weekend I was thinking like she was on a mission to sort of reclaim some of the fan love. And she was honestly doing some good fan service all weekend. And it's just sort of like, mm-hmm. okay, the reason why you're not going to say that is because it's a Denise Richards line. And like, you're still feeling some type of way about that. Like, show that you're over it. And,
oh
like,
yeah.
Cool.
I didn't even
and,
put
like,
them just, together. The
no,
Denise...
no, me neither. But somebody else sort of that was standing right there who was like laughing as it was happening, told me that. And I was like, yeah. That's just fucking bullshit. Like,
yeah.
Like just fucking do it. Like, show that you're over it and that you're like, you know, but. So
where do you stand on the Denise Richards of it all?
I don't. She's definitely on a mission to come back, and I, I don't know if she needs to come back, to be honest. I don't think she
like is gonna like need to rehabilitate anything.
No, it's just like I'm still very much on her side in that whole situation. I don't know why we still care that she was like lying to protect her family that she hooked up with Brandy. Yeah.
I think at this point, if you're the kind of person who thinks that she needs to come back on to rehabilitate anything, you're probably homophobic, because like there's nothing negative about, okay, so she lied to protect her family. What's the mm-hmm. other issue, that you don't like lesbian sex? Like, what's the,
no, literally. And that's why why do we care so much?
It's like very lame.
And I think a lot of people want her to come back, like also to like take down Rinna, but like,
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
And that's not the role that Denise Richards will ever play. She's not going to be able
to
take down
Rinna. The only person that is going to take down Rinna is Lisa Rinna.
Yes. And I think she's already kind of done that.
Done it. And they're giving her one more season to do it. So
I was convinced she was not coming back. And now it's like, okay,
oh, really?
She's coming back. I was convinced.
I think she's still in a space online where I think that the hate for her fuels more ratings. I don't think none of these people that are talking so negatively about her are ever going to stop watching this show because she's on it.
Totally. And I think the extended pause between seasons is like alleviating a lot of that. And they know that. And that's so they can bring her back, I think. So
it's not like it's in a space where it's like Dallas ratings and Leanne is someone that would have
been like, okay, now ratings.
I'm not going to watch that.
It's
not like they're going to break anything by it's just working. Leaving her on again. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it also gets into like, you and I are such like, we're very online people. We're like very in tune with that conversation that happens online.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes I'm reminded about, I mean, BravoCon was one of those moments where you're reminded like how the Twitter conversation differs so much sometimes from what the average viewer thinks about things.
Tip of an iceberg.
Like everyone was booing her at BravoCon. Like that was a genuine moment that happened, but like people still want to watch her, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I could care less either way. Like, I mean,
same.
I think that
I'm so done with her, but like,
I'm so done with like the entire Beverly. I don't need to see that show for like,
I'm here for the break.
Already know how I feel about that. I care more about the satellite cities. I call them like the Potomac of it all. The Salt Lake City, the New Jersey. Yeah. Not the big ones. Right. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like, yeah. Give me a suburb. Do you have any kind of like the worst kind of wives? Not even like specific ones, but like an archetype of a kind of a trope, I guess, of a, like Lisa Rinna could be, you know, some might even compare sometimes in some circles, although I wouldn't necessarily make this comparison. Some people might compare Lisa Rinna to a Margaret Josephs in a way, because they think she's kind of keeping the conversation going, the show moving, but I don't think they're even the same.
Recently, I've been mentally comparing her and Giselle, honestly, and I think that for me, I loved Rinna for her first five years or so. And like to me, what changes is when she starts to punch down and when she becomes like too much of the producer. And like I think that Giselle is like not at that point yet, but she's inching towards that point, and she has to be really careful. So I actually like that kind of person. Like I love Giselle. Like I love. When she's like, especially, I mean, this season's a little different, but like she serves a really important role on the show. And like, I love that person who says what everyone's thinking, who cuts the chase, doesn't bother with the, hey, how are you? Just asks you if you have cancer or not. Like I'm down for that, but I don't know. What were you going to say?
Not to get too off tangent, but just on the topic of Giselle, because I did watch the new episode last night, and which I honestly feel like this past episode was
a filler.
Filler. Yeah, totally. You could totally tell.
Total filler.
Didn't need any of it. Stop doing that, by the way. Like, I don't need Jersey has a better season and less episodes, and it just hits
way more condensed. Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
But with Potomac, I feel like maybe sometimes I feel like this story that, because I don't feel like we're getting that much Giselle, and the little bits that we are getting, I'm not liking. So I feel like maybe next season would be really great if we take out one person and don't add another person in. And I think that at this point, it seems like Mia, because she has like the least amount of like genuine relationships with these women. Mm-hmm. And maybe just like keep the focus on the original people and Wendy.
Candace, I agree. No, you know what I mean? Yeah, totally. And I think that the trope, not like for an individual housewife, but the trope that I really like, or the trend that I always hate is whenever they try to ostracize one person. Like, it's just, yeah, it never works. And they always misread the situation because it always fires back because viewers always want to sympathize with that one person who's being ostracized, like, regardless of how much they like that person. Like, people didn't love Wendy last year. And, like, just the way, by the way that she's been treated is, like, now everyone's on her side.
That's what happened to me those couple of years where I was in the darkest period of my life when I was following Vicky Gunvalson. And they called them the Dark Ages. Ooh, there was a time there where, I know, but I was, like, watching OC, and I was when it, that's when, you know, at right at the, after the fallout of the Brooke stuff, and he had just left, and Kelly Dodd had just come on, and I was like, and I liked the beginning of that because I liked the Kelly Dodd's relationship with Vicky, that the fact that they were both outcasts but also, like, agitators, they were just fun in such an otherwise boring landscape. Mm-hmm. It just hit, and I think that that's to what you were saying. It's just like, that's, people are always going to sympathize with whoever is being, and that's why I, like, one of the reasons I love Denise, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And
that's one of the reasons, like, why Sutton hits.
Sutton, oh, she fucking hits. Like, if there's anybody I miss from that show, it's her. I'm trying to think, like, it's hard. I think the one thing that the trope or the thing Larsa. That I really... yes.
Sorry, 100%. I'm going to keep naming them. Larsa's one of them.
Do it. But, and, like, and I think somebody who, like, maybe you could honestly maybe potentially group into that is somebody who I have never really liked, who's Jen Shaw, who, like, yeah, she'll cut to the chase. She'll be an antagonizer.
Okay, but, so,
like,
that's where I veer.
See, but, like, I can't stand with Jen Shaw. Like, I think that she's, like, she's always been an actress. I don't think she's ever, somebody tweeted recently, like, she's never really given us a genuine moment on the show. And I completely agree with that. Like, people think it's like, oh, like, what are they going to do without her? Like, she gives such TV. And it's like, honestly, like, she's never really done it for me. So,
she's never really hit.
Away, honestly, never hit for me. So, and I think that to me, that gets to, like, the post housewife who, like, comes on having studied the rule book. And, like, some of them can do that in a good way.
Jen Aiden's,
100%. Jen Aiden's a really good example of somebody who does it right. But
came on, just, like, obviously had read the rule book. But so kind of almost bad at it to where it's genuine.
Right.
Like, it's like, does that make sense? You know,
she's like, or like a Barlow who has clearly watched Housewives, but she's, like, not self-aware enough to, like, be able to, like, follow that rule book. You know what I mean? So So that's where I have trouble with, like, just the people who, like, have just clearly are too in their head about it.
Dorinda kind of got too in her head.
Yeah, 100%. Me too.
I don't need to see you ever come out with mugs and t-shirt. Once you start regurgitating your lines that, you know, you made popular two seasons ago, I'm bored. I don't like it to be too meta. Mm-hmm. I don't even like it when they announce people to be on a show before they've even filmed something. That's ridiculous to me. How about we film them first and see if they're even going to work out? Ebony, we probably wouldn't have been stuck with Ebony had they not made an announcement that they had the first Black housewife of New York. It's like, check out and see if she's,
now with their, who said this? Oh, I think, take it with a grain of salt considering the source, but it was Ramona who said that, like, apparently in the test shooting, Ebony acted completely differently than what she did the actual show. Yeah.
I'm sure.
So that's why they do some of that test shooting, but, like, still, it's a slippery slope.
Do you have an all-time best episode?
An all-time best episode. It has to be from a trip, 100%.
It's a trip? Yeah.
It has to be.
People always talk about Scary Island, but Mexico was so...
Yes. Is that when Ramona...
I think Mexico is better than Scary Island.
Is that where Ramona and Bethany are, like, naked in the pool talking to one another? And, like,
yes.
Is that Mexico? Yes. Yeah. But that trip is up there.
But also St. Croix... Was it St... Wait, no. It was St. Bart? No. St. Bart was when Bethany was away.
St. Bart is Carol, Heather. Okay.
Turks and Caicos is when Bethany and Ramona were crying, but it was on the bench.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, every time they go on vacation, they're crying together.
Yeah, it would definitely be a New York trip. Yeah, and I think it'd be hard to figure out exactly which one, but, like,
Tequila Palm was just like, yeah.
Tequila, when Bethany took them to her, like, whatever, the skinny girl, like, ranch where they make the tequila, whatever that was. Honestly, Colombia was a great fucking trip. Like, I don't know.
I found Colombia to be, but it did have one of those really visceral feelings to it. Like, sometimes production is so good where you feel like you're there in a sense that the bottoms of their feet were dirty and they were complaining about it. And I just, whenever they would film around that in that weird house, it was like an Airbnb style. And it just looked like the furniture didn't match. It looked like it was almost like a hostel. It was weird. And
the
elevator was broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was
exactly.
poop everywhere.
That had an edge of darkness to it. Absolutely. Yes. But like,
yeah.
But it, to me, like that was the last really good moment for New York. So yeah. It was like, that was fun.
Yeah. Do you have an all-time worst season?
I mean, some of those middle Jersey ones are really bad. The most recent New York one is definitely one of the worst of all time, I think.
Yeah. I think even that one with the Twins on Jersey like hit more than the last New York.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think the most recent New York, honestly, like it's hard to think of a worse season than that. Even some of like the like, even if you want to go like season one of Dallas, like even that probably had better moments than New York this past season.
It's the Twins actually kind of got a bad rap. I thought that they were interesting.
Yeah, I guess it's like honestly almost at this point a talking point for the Jersey women to like just name them. It's like an easy out for any of those questions.
But what's an interesting tidbit is that Margaret was supposed to be on that season.
Right. She said that was the Page Six thing, right?
Yep. Margaret was originally supposed to be cast along with the Twins and I think with Amber too, which that possibly would have been and Dina.
Totally.
That might have been changed.
That could have worked. That could have worked.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I think Margaret would have brought what she brings, which we all know is great.
Yeah.
And it could have elevated everybody. But I also think that like Margaret coming on to take down Soggy Flicker was also perfection to me. So
arguing about Joan Rivers and a diner off of Route 9. Route 6? Is it Route 6? Whatever. Yeah.
Please.
So good.
Oh, so good.
Crying in a diner. Do not miss that woman. Yeah. So we were just talking about the Real Housewives of New Jersey appearance that we were at last week with Page Six, and Margaret was a guest there, as was Jackie, and then two of the new girls. And they were talking a lot about the show, which I'm really excited for. It sounds like it's going to be fucking crazy.
I'm always excited for Jersey, but it also always feels like there's like an extra weight for it, and I don't know why, but it feels like they've been done filming for a while.
They're making us wait. I think it's next week though. It's trailer. Oh, that's what I'm hearing. So
all right,
first
peeled.
Folks,
fucking news.
I will say that the two new girls sitting at our table talked the entire— did you hear them?
I heard them from two tables away.
Love you, girls, but come on.
they were talking in a way that we didn't enjoy. They were talking in a not a fun way.
Yeah, it was like they were talking a lot, and I think it was just interesting because I was like, I thought they might really want to hear what was kind of going on stage because it was really interesting stuff. But maybe they hadn't seen each other in a while and they really had to catch up on something. I don't know.
Come on,
totally nice women,
on the car ride back though. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because people paid for that thing.
Yes, they did pay for that thing. Yeah. So. But I agree. Margaret and Jackie were great at that. I thought they were.
Yeah. Jackie's great.
I'm a Jackie fan.
Same.
Very much
taste.
So.
I think she's somebody who could come back too.
It sounds like she almost earned her way back, honestly, this past season from what I've heard. Like, it sounds like it was pretty close to happening for her. I agree.
Jersey,
I think that she
deserves
brings
to have eight women, to be honest.
Yes.
You know?
I don't know why they're so insistent on not growing the group for like for real.
So I don't know anything about this for fact, but I wonder, because I think it is one of the few franchises where they actually do pay them in.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that they already in theory have a huge cast of people. I think even this is just hearsay, but I feel like Gia gets paid, and I think I've heard this before.
She must get paid.
To do interviews and stuff like that. So
I'm
when
sure
you consider
does.
All of that, they already have a huge cast of people.
And also,
it is a show about family.
And Teresa, and to a slightly lesser extent, Melissa, they probably get fat paychecks at this point. Yeah.
Yes.
So, and that's probably why it's a shorter season as well. So you're right. It's probably a production thing.
Jersey, the reason that it works, and in my opinion, works better than a show like Beverly Hills, is because I think that all of the paychecks, whatever they are, I don't know, guys, I think whatever they are, they're warranted. Whatever they're being paid, I think it's worth it. Even when Teresa doesn't give that much, just her cooking in her kitchen with her daughters and whoever else is running in and out of the house is still interesting to someone out there.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle could never. Okay. Like Kyle is, she's a nice woman, I'm sure. But like Garcelle could never, you know, they need each other as an ensemble. When I think that like Margaret just doing stuff is interesting.
Yeah. They can be one woman. There can be one woman shows within that show. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Dolores ripping cigarettes in her mother's driveway. And like, you know, like it's just, it works.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Not Dolores ripping cigs. Yeah. Jennifer Aiden, just put a camera in Jennifer Aiden's house, in her kitchen. Absolutely. And just show us what's happening at all times. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
There was her social media the other day was like she did like a story or it was a TikTok or a reel or something, chaotic as ever, I'm sure. She was having some kind of party. I don't know what kind of party it was. They're always having parties, I guess. But she was just saying like all the alcohol. She's like, "Do you think I have enough alcohol?" The video went on for like, I'm not kidding, like a minute and 30 seconds. It was just like very fast paced. I've never seen this many bottles. They like to party at that house. No, yeah.
They love to party at that house.
Good for her. My she's God. Excellent housewife.
I mean, she's
somebody. Send she's her to White Lotus.
100%. And I would love, honestly, send her to White Lotus, put her on a girls trip. I would love to see her interacting with some people from other cities. Like I'm like drooling at the thought of it. It's like so good.
Jen Aiden, whatever the configuration is next time. But you know what? I've heard that the next season of Ultimate Girls Trip is supposed to be more former wives. That's what I've heard.
Like a different group of exes?
I think so.
Okay.
Guys, okay. I mean, I'd not confirmed, it. But this is not what I'm confirmed. Hearing.
Okay. Word on the street.
And you know what? I think it would make sense. I think it makes the most sense. It hit more than the original one, the X ones.
And I think it would make sense for them to switch off every season, honestly, at this point. Like, yeah. Give us the X's and then give us some random group.
Who do you think it could be?
Oh my God. I mean, they also put all the mess into one.
Yeah.
You have to think
I don't know. They haven't put all the mess into one.
No, you're right. But you have to think that most of New York is off the table because, like, most of them are going to come back for Legacy that are, like, available and willing.
That's fine.
Most of New Jersey's probably off the table, I'm guessing. Unless they rope Caroline Manzo in with like a good paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who could it be? Who do you think? Who comes to mind?
I mean, LVP to head it up would make sense, but I don't know that she would ever do it unless it's a huge paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
There
have to be some Atlanta women who are available. But like, who is it? I mean, unless they did.
They've just already done it.
Unless they did. I mean, like, her relationship isn't good enough with them right now. But, like, there's a couple of, like, big-time OGs that are available right now. It's Vanderpump, Nene. Manzo, Nene.
Oh, yeah, Dean, yeah.
Like there's a lot.
OGs.
Totally. I mean, it's, like, there's a lot of big ones out there that are
That could be interesting. They could be interesting.
I think so, too.
Kim Zolciak absolutely needs the check. And I think she
Kim Zolciak, 100%. She's looking for a job.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see how Kim Zolciak navigates white women world a lot more respectfully than the way she left. That's for fucking sure.
Mm. Sometimes I miss her. I miss that woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watching after the clip that you put up at Soho House, I was just like, you know what? Sometimes she really did give us some stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Social media kind of changes the way that you watch the shows. And I think that something I think about often is the way that the reason that I love some franchises is because they stay off social media. New Jersey, you would not know what's going on. There's just like people that whisper to the press and stuff like that, but they don't really fight online, mostly because I don't think Teresa knows how to use Twitter.
Definitely not.
You know, I think Melissa's too busy. I think Margaret's too busy. It's just like, I don't think that they use it in the same way. Now, the reason that I think that Potomac could get on my nerves at times is because someone like Candace is like very online.
Yeah.
Loves to drag stuff out and fight online. And I find it just kind of like really ruins it for me. I don't like when people fight with fans or each other online. It's just like Jen Shaw's doing a lot of that right now.
It's like, it's like Jen Shaw, but it's also definitely somebody who's like tweeting for her also. Like it's just, that's when it's like, okay, come on, seriously, what are we doing here?
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, I agree. And I think with Candace, it's like, she's always, ever since she joined the show, she's been like extremely active on Twitter.
Yes.
And I think that to a certain extent, like that's almost like impacted the way that people talk about the show on Twitter, just in terms of like, she's there. So people are standing her like extra hard in that space, I think, because like she has eyes there. Which I think is like, so it's I don't know. I agree. I like when they like can get in the comments like here and there, like Melissa and Jen can like get in the comments and like give us a little moment, like maybe be like that we can talk about on the reunion. But if it's if there's a whole other storyline happening on Twitter, like I'm sorry, like it's just it messes with the timeline. There's too much.
It messes
going
with
on.
The timeline, and
like
and
I don't
want
to have to be
meta.
Watching. I don't want to be have to. I don't want to have to be watching Queens of Bravo's Instagram story just to keep up with what's happening on the show. like that's that's too much for me. Yeah, I agree.
I barely check other. Like other Bravo, if I don't see it in its natural environment, I'm not interested in like kind of getting that's no shade to like other kind of people that do that. But
to be honest,
don't even really like, I feel like I tweet more about Housewives sometimes and it's not even really that much than I do even on Instagram. Like I don't really occasionally I'll say something, but
and I like well, a lot of the time at this point, just cause I don't like reading replies to things. Yes. I just will tweet. I'll tweet and not even look. Like I'll tweet my thoughts.
I'm not
out.
trying to
like,
argue with y'all.
No, I'm not getting in the replies. Are you kidding me? At this point, it's like that's just acting masochistic, honestly, at this point. But like, but I do. Like I'll click on the hashtag just to see what sort of the top thoughts are. But like, otherwise, I'm not getting down in the replies at all.
At all. It's so fucking annoying, you guys. Please do not. It's like, don't, because I just block people. Like I said something the other day in passing. I was like, when I was thinking about Mia and how her Miami looks completely different than Larsa's. And I was like, you know what? Mia could have rented Lisa Hochstein's house.
At least the backyard.
Yeah, right? 40,000. I don't think Mia has that kind of money, or I don't know. But
can you imagine? Like, oh my God, I'm dead.
But then Mia fans, which by the way, I did not know you guys exist. Mia, listen, but I sound so, because I'm a fake ass bitch. Like last season I was like, Mia, that's my girl.
Oh, okay. All right. You were Tanya with the gun. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you say Sanya or Tanya? Tanya.
Tanya. Tanya. I don't know, babe.
Tanya
I don't know.
Or Sanya. Honestly,
Tanya.
Either one could work.
Either one worked. I was thinking Tanya from White Lotus with the gun, but
yeah, but Sanya with the gun.
Atlanta with the ta-ta-ta.
Boom.
Yep.
Boom. Brap, brap, brap.
Yeah. She had shirts that said that at BravoCon.
Yeah, that's like the only thing she said. Nobody asked her any questions. Poor thing.
Oh, big sigh.
Yeah, she's getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
But I just said that about Mia, like renting out Lisa Hochstein's house. Very funny, by the way, you guys.
People
were like jumping in the comments. Stay out of black people's business. Did it? I was like, okay, so first off, weirdo. Half black here, so don't get me. Okay, weirdo. And also.
Weirdo.
Like, good weirdo, but like also. Who, like, you're not getting paid to stick up from, like, just...
I know, it's
laugh
so much.
At the joke, or don't laugh at the joke, but keep it pushing. But I know y'all don't know Mia well enough to even be fighting her battles on Twitter. It's fucking weird, okay? Mm. You're not getting paid. you know?
Like, I was accused of being on Monique's payroll with during the, in the Monique Candace season, because I was tweeting like, I can't,
you can't win.
It's not worth my energy. And so like, just cause I'm saying one positive thing about somebody or making a joke about something sorry, we're not
like, I'm sorry, my joke hit. And you know what? I'm always going to say something about me.
Well, you know, you also know it hit because that is, it's sparking these replies. Like that's exactly, when you know, so
hit dogs are going to holler. So my grandmother always says,
I like that phrase.
Mm-hmm. I hate Jin Shah. I think
it's really tough for me. Like
this really past tough. Episode throwing shoes and charcuterie off the rented yacht. I do not like this woman. This isn't even called it's making sickening. Good television. You're throwing glasses of wine on people's heads that your supposed friend. You're throwing expensive shoes that you don't know who they belong to off of a yacht. You're throwing charcuterie trays, which first off, I love a charcuterie board.
That's a crime. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or is it crudité? Whichever. It's cheese. Food.
Yeah.
And she's just like having a tantrum, and it's just like, it's not even interesting, right?
No, it's
just
throwing the charcuterie or the crudité, throwing the shoes, dumping the champagne flute for no reason. I'm for a drink throw at some point. I'm for something else like that, but like, it has to be earned. It has to be, it has to make sense in the moment. Jen Shaw is just like, again, she studied this handbook, but like, she studied it wrong clearly. So like, she's doing all these crazy things that just aren't earned. Like, it's just irrational.
She's
doing,
she's reading a book backwards because she's starting from the end. She's not taking you from one to 10. She's just going straight to 10.
She started
10.
That chapter 10.
Exactly.
So, and so like, and so I'm here for a moment maker, like somebody who knows actually how to like lead up to a moment, build, give us the building blocks to that moment with that conversation. But like, neither of those things in the past two episodes have been earned. And I'm so glad that like people checked her on that, because like, it's,
that's what I'm feeling about. That's how I felt about the last season of New York. It felt like we didn't really earn all the chaos that we've got in Salem. Like, we're just breaking glass and we're screaming for no reason. And it's, people are blacking out. And I'm like, but where did, how did we get here? Like, so like Salt Lake City, just with Jen in this mix and doing what she's doing and really not making any sense. It's just really low brow. It's like, we're not having conversations. We're not like getting to the bottom of any, I don't even know what there is to get to the bottom of, because we're not
me
even
neither.
Having
it's not even clear what they're even fighting
Whitney's
over,
and twerking, it's like, and I can't even hear the music, what's going on, and then Dan is picking up Whitney while she's twerking,
guest
and
of
then
the guest.
You're screaming and there's all these random women that I don't know why we're here. It's like,
I know, and like that, I mean, that's the reason why people love to post that Amsterdam clip all the time, is because like Lisa Rinna throwing that glass at that dinner was a moment that there was a slow burn, and then the and then the flame erupted, and she did that, and we understood why she did that, and we for the most part, and like it really built up. Margaret pushing Danielle in the pool, that was a slow burn over the entire season, and then it ended with her pushing in the pool, like,
and even if the push was performative, it still made sense, because
100% no, and that it, to me, it's like, to me, like a moment like that, and I'm not defending like quote unquote physical violence, but to me, like, there's also lines to be drawn in that conversation, but like, If I can understand somebody erupting in a moment, if the emotions and the anger and the lead up explains that. So that's why Jen just like, she doesn't get it to me. It's not, she's not willing to have those conversations, because she's tunnel vision. She blocks her ears. Like, it's just, it's too much.
So it's a tough season, because obviously like the Whitney and Heather of it all, which is just kind of like drowning out the room with this kind of weird energy. And I love Heather, and I'm not just saying this because I like know her, but it's like, I really do genuinely think she's
like
a great housewife.
Me too.
I think she's clearly getting kind of like a crummy end of the stick, because it's like, you know, I think, I heard you on a podcast the other day on our friend Sarah.
Oh yeah.
Valley's podcast, Andy's Girls. You guys check it out. But you made a really valid point, and I thought nobody else was thinking this way, and then you said it. Heather and Whitney went into this show this season together thinking, okay, we're going to do this. We're good friends. And Heather is like really looking at it as like, you're my cousin. You're my really, really my best friend. Whitney, on the other hand, is a little more performative, I think, than Heather and always has been on this show. And I think
I
that Whitney
that.
Needs to maintain her. And I think, honestly, Whitney's not as safe on this show as Heather is. And I think that Whitney kind of looked around the landscape and realized Jen's leaving. I need to kind of mix things up, because nothing else is going to happen. And I really want to be friends with Lisa anyways. So I'm going to do what it takes to kind of like try to forge a friendship with Lisa, even if that means blowing up my friendship with Heather to make a storyline.
Yeah.
And I think Heather was really taken.
And that's what hurt Heather genuinely. Like, I don't think Whitney was genuinely hurt by Heather, but I think Heather, because Whitney did that, was genuinely hurt by Whitney.
Yeah. And I think it didn't register with Heather until they were sitting down on her couch in her house. So
we were
totally
out of that room.
I've been thinking this for months since the show originally aired. I can't say I didn't see it coming. Honestly, I do think that like Whitney, while she's probably a very nice person, I can see that she's self-producing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that
it's like, she got on the stripper pole in her basement. In the first couple of, I was like, okay, this woman's like here to play.
She's giving us, like, yeah, exactly. And like, and I respect it to a big degree, but like at a certain point it gets into Jen Shaw territory where it becomes like, okay, this is just not based in reality at all.
Yeah.
And I understand.
You see
Heather's
someone who maybe
reactions.
Her husband got fired from his company because of her placement on the show. So now if she loses the show, then what do they have? So she's kind of like,
or even her reaction to that was like really, not really grounded in like reality. Like it wasn't like an anti-woman thing. I don't want an employee of mine on Real Housewives, you know, rolling on in mud with his wife. Like that's what it is.
Yeah. So Heather, kind of like the fall of Heather is what we're seeing. Lisa's kind of having a star-making moment too.
Lisa's really, I mean, I've really loved Barlow's housewife from the beginning, just because like she has that element of like she lacks that self-awareness. So a lot of her best moments come when she's not aware that she's making a moment. Like, yeah. Hi, baby gorgeous to me, like, is probably what she had said to her son a lot of times. She didn't realize that was going to be a catchphrase that would break out for her. Like, yeah. So some of the, like, I love that as like just her, her like kind of base response.
But I don't
want to
see any coffee mugs or any sweatshirts.
Sure. No, I totally understand like... that. But like, but I like that a lot of these moments that people latch onto aren't her making a moment. It's just her naturally being herself, which is like, even though she is aware of certain things all on the show, like her best moments come when she's misreading the situation almost. And like, I like that about her. Like, I think she's hilarious.
Mary, we need her back.
Even just as like a friend of giving like some like good commentary and a confessional, there's a lack of like intentional humor, I think, on this show right now.
There's a lack of, I think,
an intentional reading.
Someone involved in the church. You know,
that's a good point too. Yeah.
Someone who's like involved in the church, because that was literally how the identity, that's how the show was sold to us. Mm-hmm. And now that we don't have Mary there anymore, and now that Jen's gone, not that Jen was like a woman of the church necessarily, but like she did come with kind of like an interesting religious background, right? Because she's like
totally. But now they're showing us what's interesting, and maybe this is why they're showing us more of this side of Lisa. But like, Lisa's had a couple of comments this season that are like about God, and she gets emotional about God, and like we never really saw that from her, like in an overt way before. And I wonder if it's to fill that hole that Mary sort of left, like
I think
from a religious
aspect.
But it doesn't really work on Lisa. Like, I don't really. It feels almost like.
It worked
to hear
when
that from
she
her.
Wasn't friends with Whitney and Heather, because she was being judgy about their behavior. And that's when it made sense. But in this kind of scenario, it's just kind of like, okay, well, I don't really buy it.
Yeah.
But I think that's where we're kind of getting at with the show, is that we have a ton of friends of, but we've not really discussed like why they're here and how this benefits the identity of the show.
Totally. And like, I was not enjoying this season, to be honest, up until the last top two or three episodes. And like, that's when the friends honestly stepped it up. And like, Angie K gave us a great performance in one episode. Dana gave us a great performance last episode. But you're right. Like, their introduction, I have no idea who these women are. I don't really know who they're friends with. Yeah. I don't know why they're there. I'm down for them to be there, because it's breaking up the monotony of these relationships. But like,
and like,
it's not explained.
Okay, so this is just like a overarching thing that I think is an issue that I'm seeing with like a lot of these shows, is stop having friends of just to have them on. I don't like when there's too many people coming in and out of the house. Like, if you don't have a strong enough core cast, maybe don't start filming right away, because we don't need, like, Atlanta really bothers me when they have like four or five friend ofs. I don't need Shamia.
And they're all trying out. They're trying out. Yeah.
It's too much. And I don't know why we're all here, and it's too much to keep up with. I was going to use an example. Jacqueline on Potomac is a perfect example, and we'll get into all that. But, you know, the only place where I think it works is Miami, but that's because we know the women so well.
I think Miami is like from a couple perspectives, Miami is like a different situation, because it's like they were gone for 10 years.
Yes.
We bring back so many OGs, and some of them become friends of, and I think that people had a problem with some of those people being friends of, but like Marisol and Adriana being friends of is perfect, honestly.
Perfect.
Like, they're serving their roles. Kiki, I fucking love her. Like, honestly, I love her. I think she's going to be more involved this season. But like, it's sort of a reset that I think makes it a little bit of a different situation. But I agree, Jacqueline's there just for having a body there. It's like, that's like same with Atlanta.
I think we need that with a great cast.
Yes.
And because of that, we're getting less of the people like Giselle and this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's an interesting, and I think that there's, I think they see how big the cast is on Beverly Hills and how much it works. I mean, like, just from a ratings perspective, like generating conversation perspective. And
but that's because people on Beverly Hills are so boring. You need that many people. Like Erica Jane. I'm sorry, I'm not watching Erica Jane clean her apartment.
Yeah. Each one of them
is going to wherever the fuck she lives.
Each one of them is going to step up in like a different episode. You know, they kind of like take turns. Like, you know what I mean? But
But
not the casita.
So let's get into Miami. Petty Pippin has entered.
Petty Pippin, baby.
The chat. Petty Pippin. Larsa is really surprising, because the first time around I was like, okay, I kind of get why Larsa's on this show the first season and then one. I was like, yeah, it made sense that she didn't come back.
Yes,
and then she comes back. But I always liked Larsa when she came back, because I think that she's such a great anti-hero, because everyone hates her and you kind of want to see her win, but you also like, she's not a conventional hero in the sense that like, she does not play with these women. She pops in and pops, you know what I mean? And it pops out, and then they just talk about her. But she always kind of was like, I'm too good to even get into these like rumors with you. She just has this air that like they're mad because she doesn't get down in the dirt with him.
Yes.
But then this season, she's there. Like, all right, let's do it. And it's like,
and my theory about the change that Larsa has exhibited between these two seasons is that I think that she came into last season knowing the entire time that the Kardashian conversation was going to follow her. Like people wanted to ask her about Kanye and Kim the entire season. Why aren't you friends with Kim? What do you know about the divorce? Blah, 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 blah. And like, now that she's had one season of that, she's gotten through that. I think she was honestly on edge the entire time last year. I think now she feels literally like a huge weight off her shoulder. She doesn't have to answer for it anymore. She's already given the responses, mostly in confessionals, honestly. And like, now she's like freed up to let's get it poppin', to be Petty Pippin.
And isn't her divorce final now?
Yeah, and I think that that as well. But I really think the Kardashian thing, like, she hated talking about that, and I actually think that she might not have been allowed to talk about
probably
that
not
of that, honestly, because I'm sure if you're in that world, you're signing NDAs if you're on that plane. So like, it's, I think that she got through that and she feels like, okay, we're game on.
Have you interviewed anybody? You interviewed Dr. Nicole, right?
I've interviewed for this season Nicole only. Last season I interviewed most of them, honestly. Okay. Larsa was a very dry interview, though, in that last year.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah, she's media trained.
Again, it's the Kardashian thing. She knew the questions coming, and so she's like ready for it, and she's like tense the whole time.
I want to talk to you about Dr. Nicole, your interview with her. Give me some tidbits from that. I want to talk about Lisa and Lenny, and then I want to get into Potomac with you, because there's so much there. You're actually from Potomac, right? Or not, you're not from Potomac,
from DC,
but you're from the
so
DC area.
All my friends are from Potomac, yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to get into all that. First off, just tell the people where to follow your social and your podcast on all of that stuff.
Yeah, my podcast is called We Should Talk, wherever you get your podcasts, one interview per week. I would say like 75% Bravo, 25% somebody else in the celebrity world. And then you can follow me on socials at Gibsonoma, GIBSONOMA on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, wherever, you know.
Yeah,
that's it.
We're going to go over to the bonus, episode called The B-Side. You guys can subscribe there by going to patreon.com/theBList and subscribing there. And we are going to keep the conversation going.
Let's get it.
I want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk soon. Find us over on The B-Side, guys. Bye.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at
Menards. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.